O the height and depth of mercy, O the length and breadth of love, O the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, that you have humbled yourself to involve yourself with the matters of humanity and the matters of earth. We thank you, dear God, that from the beginning, when you brought us into your creation and created us in your image, Father, that at that time you committed and were committed to fulfilling your will in our lives and to completing a task that will be to your glory. But the things that you're involved with in the meantime, dear God, are so far below your dignity. We thank you, Lord, for our lives in you. We thank you for the hope you set before us. And we look to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. In this last song we sang, Give Me Jesus, the main phrase to that, the first of each verse, is what, and I don't know how I'm going to get to where I'm going to go, and there's so many different ways, but this signifies and signals to the world around us and people around us, and really it kind of echoes in our own hearts and mind the work that God has done. But when we, as the children of God, we as Christians who want to walk with God, another song we sang was Higher Ground. I might refer back to that. I mean, this will be a kind of a hymnal sermon rather than one out of the Bible. But the concepts are what my thoughts are really about today. When we say, take the world, you can have the world. You can have everything in the world. I don't care. Take the riches of the world. Take all the pleasures of the world. Take all the beautiful scenery and all those sorts of things. You can have them. You can keep them. I don't want them. The world around us has trouble comprehending that. Even Christians around us have trouble comprehending that. Maybe sometimes we ourselves have trouble comprehending those feelings that, you know, take the world. I don't care. Take my goods. Like the Thessalonians and others that went through, that we read of in Scripture, where because they became Christians and because they swore allegiance to another king, they were still willing to abide under the leadership of that country and the government of that country, but they spoke of another king, one Jesus, the Christ. In many places, it says, oh, well, if you're serving another king, another kingdom, then you don't need your house, you don't need your land, you don't need to live with us. Goodbye. And they just simply took everything. They took everything they had. Sometimes they broke apart their families even. Said, there, you can have your Jesus, and we'll take your stuff. But to have that, and think about that mentality. You can have the world and everything in it. I just want to learn more and more about Jesus. I want to grow in Christ. I will take Jesus over anything and everything. Give me a choice, and every time I will choose Jesus and not the things of this world. And that's the mindset, because as of course, again, as we sang, oh, the height and the depth of the mercy and the length and breadth of love. Oh, the fullness of our redemption. There's so much that we are given in redemption, the pledge of endless life above. The things of the world simply do not compare at all. All the
riches, all the glory, all the things of the world do not compare to who, to what we have in Jesus and who we have in Jesus. So much so to the point that given the choice, I will take Jesus over anything. I was reading an article, I'm trying to remember what state it was in. Reading a couple of articles about recent large ranch and land sales. And just recently there's a, I can't remember who it is now, but he's just become the largest private property owner in the world. And he bought 100,000 acres in western Nebraska and Texas and New Mexico and Canada and Montana, just vast, vast amounts of land. The last one's in Nevada. But the story was about someone that had been offered a tremendous amount of money per acre, something like $60,000 or $65,000 a month an acre for some farm ground. And it had been the family for a long time, and they said, nope, we're going to keep the land in the family. They were seeking, and they were taking a greater prize, not so much the world, because it was probably going to be developed, but they were choosing something better. And it's extremely unlikely that people will ever do that. And how many more generations will stand up to that kind of monetary pressure is hard to say. But it's that same sort of thing. We see more value in a life in this world walking with Jesus and being open and honest with Jesus and living for Jesus than anything that the world might afford, as one song says. Take the world. Go ahead, take anything you want. Just let me have Jesus. I'm going to choose Jesus. And that mindset sets the world ill at ease. What is it about Jesus that people would turn down so much in this world that they might walk with him, just have an honest relationship with him? There's nothing to be seen, but they might have an honest relationship with him and be at peace with him rather than gain the things the rest of us are clamoring to obtain, to own, to experience. That sets the world ill at ease because they do not see the value in what we value above all things. And so a song like this, or the thought of this, you'll take the world, but just give me Jesus. I'm content with Jesus. And then the other song we sang, number 549, is Higher Ground. What does that mean? It says, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, and on and on. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. The intent of this song and these words themselves is that the people that assembled this songbook put in the scripture of Philippians 3:14, which I'd like to get to, but I doubt if I will today. That for the Christian, so everything I'm going to talk about is for the Christian. I'm not talking about unbelievers. We're not talking about the unredeemed. We're talking about those who have believed in Christ as their Savior. That are built, their lives are founded on the foundation of Jesus Christ. They are born of God. They are children of God. They have the hope and assurance of eternal life. There's nothing along those lines that's being threatened whatsoever. None of that is in danger of being changed or removed. But these verses, these thoughts are directed toward believers. And as the song Higher Ground points out, it speaks of a higher plane, to live on a higher spiritual plane, greater spiritual heights. Getting to that point, you know, there's many a Christian who are, they're children of God. They're born of God. They're believers in Christ. But they don't quite see they can't say in earnest, you know, keep the world, but give me Jesus. Well, there's a lot of things in the world that I like doing. There's a lot of things in the world that I'd really like to have, or things I'd like to do. There's things in the world that I find very appealing, and there's nothing wrong with them. And granted, as Paul said, you know, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. They don't further me down the path toward the goal that I am pursuing. They don't expedite my journey. You were getting these shipping-wise, it's expedited. They hurry it up. Well, you know, Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not everything furthers me to this higher ground. There are greater weights and burdens that we put on ourselves that make it harder to climb to higher ground, because we are too tied to the things of this world. I hardly know where to start, but let's start with in Hebrews chapter 11. But this is the thought that it's been bouncing around inside my head, my heart, for a week or so. And it is this, is that I cannot become what the Lord would have me to be if I insist on being who I want to be. There's two wills. There's the will of the Lord, and then there's our own will. This song, Take the World But Give Me Jesus, speaks of a person who wants to be what God wants them to be. I cannot become the person that the Lord wants me to become if I also insist on wanting to be a professional bank robber, for example. You know, I don't know, maybe there is a fellowship of born-again bank robbers. I don't know. Or you kind of wonder where they get their funding. But the thing is, there are two things that are contrary. I am not free to become what the Lord would make of me if I tie myself and insist on being who I want to be, if it's contrary to what the Lord wants of me. We see so many, and have seen so many over the years, and I just use this example because I use it because it's happened so much. We have some people that might come in for a visit that they really enjoy church. It's a lot of times it's sort of this time of year, and the weather outside is not very favorable. And they've been we've been looking for a church, and we want to start going back to church. And they come to church for a while, but then the weather warms up, and they don't show up. And then they might show up again and say, "Well, you know, we both work." And speaking of a husband and wife, you might say, "We both work, and you know, weekends are our only time, and we just love to ride motorcycles and go camping. And we just can't make it to church because so often we are on motorcycle trips. I mean, I know it sounds kind of odd, but I've heard that same story many times. I cannot become what the Lord would have me to be if I choose, there's lots of words you could use, if I choose to involve myself in what I want to do. That is counterproductive. Not everything is counterproductive. It's a matter of heart. But I know, this is a very personal, example the Lord gave me. And so that's what I'm just talking about me for right now, but I'm just talking about me. But I know that I cannot be the man, be the person that I am or that I want to be if I would involve myself in things that I find appealing in the world. That's why that song, Take the World, but Give Me Jesus, is a very conscious choice that we are all called and must make. The Holy Spirit puts that choice in front of us constantly. What do we want to become? What do we want to be? Do we want to bear the marks of an overcomer in the things of God? To bear the marks and have the life of one who puts the things of God first, above the things of the world, above the things of self, and run for that prize, attain higher ground? Or are we just happy being a child of God? And there's nothing negative about being a child of God. I want to be a believer, but you know, I'm happy with heaven. And unfortunately, so many churches sometimes, the highest thing that you can possibly attain to is somehow making it into heaven. And they make it very hard, and they have laws and rules and guidelines and these things you have to do, and you have to belong to this church or that church. And, you know, if you're fortunate enough to make it into heaven, you know, that's the best you can hope for. But Paul's gospel and the Word of God makes it very clear that those who believe in God, who put their trust in Christ Jesus, said himself, whosoever believeth in me has eternal life right now. You don't see it. You aren't there yet. You aren't in that presence. But your name is written in the book of life. So some churches would even rob believers, rob individuals of that confidence and assurance of salvation, and they never get to the point where they actually teach what comes next. And the thing is, for the Christian, everything comes next. Peter refers to being babes in Christ. Hebrews talks about being babes in Christ, needing the milk of the word, the gentle, easy to take word of God, the beginning word of salvation. But they never get to the point of getting to the meat of the Word of God, which is intended for those who, by reason of exercise, are built up in the faith and are tuned into the deeper things of God. It's like higher ground. When we are born of God, we are set on an eternal plane, a foundation. Where do we find foundations? They're under the house. They're engineered to be very flat and sound and solid, in which our salvation in Christ is. But they are the lowest point of the dwelling. They're never seen. Once they're put in, right, they're virtually never seen again. But they are there. The evidence is they're holding the house up, and the house isn't falling down. Every Christian starts out with the foundation of Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I'm getting ahead of myself before I get to my start point here. Paul in Corinthians talks about that in chapter 3. There's no other foundation laid than what is laid. That is Jesus Christ. But whosoever builds on that foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, a foundation is meant to be built on and built up. The Christian life that we talk about so much and refer to so much is the life that is built after we are born of God, after we become children of God. There is higher ground to attain to, closer to heaven, if you would, is the symbolism. Closer to God, we climb higher and closer to God, and that's why the song says, "The Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland." Heaven's tableland, a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live my life in this world as closely as I can to God. And I cannot do that if I long for the valley below. I cannot experience the heights of walking with God if I long for the pleasant things down in the valley, where life is just easier, it seems. But one never gets to experience the heights and that closeness to God unless they press onward and upward as the Lord leads. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, we read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." The world that we see, the universe that we see, the stars that we see, the earth that we see, the things in this world that we see, they were not created, they were not built by things which are seen. Faith makes that understandable to us. We believe that God is the creator, that God spoke things into existence. When we believe that it's by the power that God existed long before things that are made existed, then we understand through our trust in God and this closer relationship with God, we see that God has complete power over any and all things. As we've been talking about, there's nothing he does not know, nothing he cannot do. He can pile up rivers so people can walk through in dry land. He can calm storms. He can stop rain and he can start rain. He makes the sun to rise every day and set every night. By faith we understand that the universe is a tremendous, tremendous, mind-boggling creation of the mind, from the mind and heart of God. And we are so caught up in how it works that we forget who made it and who made it work. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed, were built, were constructed by the Word of God. And so we can't understand it, really. We can study it and sort of gain an understanding of how it does it, but we don't understand how God can speak and things happen. But we can understand that by faith as it changes our lives personally. And that's what chapter 11 is mostly about. Let's read verses 5 and 6. Because this speaks of what of the higher ground. This speaks of take the world but give me Jesus, that mentality. By faith, Enoch was translated. He has moved from one place to another. that he should not see death. He was translated out of this world and into the presence of God and never saw death. And was not found because God had translated him. They looked for him. Where did he go? Where is he at? He's just gone. Because God had translated him, moved him to another realm. For before his translation, he had this testimony. This was, when you spoke of Enoch, this is what people thought of, is that Enoch lived to please God, first and above all. He basically had the mindset of take the world, just give me time with God. But this is how everybody knew him, that he pleased God, that he sought to please God. He sought to be well-pleasing to God. It was a thing of pursuit, something that he pursued. He pursued a close relationship of pleasing God in his life. But without faith, it is impossible to please him or be well-pleasing to him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, first of all, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, who use diligence in seeking out the things of God. They pursue God, the things of God. They look for that higher ground. They look for a closer walk with God. It's their desire to leave the things of the world behind and seek the things of God whenever necessary. This is the personality of Enoch. And without faith in what God has called us to, I'm not talking about salvation. Again, this is all talking about those who already believe and are born of God. It's impossible to be pleasing to God or well-pleasing to God. As I said, we cannot become what the Lord would have us to be if we insist on being what we want to be. Because I guarantee you the two are opposite things. We must seek and desire and see the value in becoming what God has called us to be. That is a choice that is faced daily. It's a decision that is made constantly, moment to moment, event to event. Enoch had this testimony that he wanted to please God above all things. The next one, in verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, warned of God of things not seen as yet. There's no evidence this was going to happen. No one else had this understanding. Noah, though, was warned of God of things not seen as yet. He moved with fear or reverence or respect to what God had revealed to him. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah's actions in responding to the word of God, the things that God had warned him of, he condemned the world. He proved the world wrong and failed. you put these two together, Enoch, if I remember correctly, was the grandfather to Noah. We see here two different examples of in a believer's life. Enoch lived in a time when he saw it was to his benefit to live to please God. And he enjoyed walking with God and serving God. He enjoyed the person of God. He enjoyed the personality and the relationship and the benefits that he received in having this close relationship with God. So much so that that's what all he wanted to do. He simply wanted to please God. And in Genesis chapter 5, it said that Enoch walked with God. He spent time with God. He pursued the things of God. He did the things that the Lord led him to do. And as a result, the Lord just simply took him out of this world to himself. And he never died. He just disappeared. He has stepped with the Lord into the realm of God. But Noah, in time later, lived in a world where God was despised openly. There was rebellion against God, and it was the thought and intent of the hearts of men to do evil continually. That's what they want. Take God, give me evil. Take God, give me a good party. You can have God, give me a good fight. Or give me some good crime. Or give me more power, more land, more money. Give me somebody else to, more slaves, whatever. You can, the things of God, they don't mean anything to me. I want more of what I want. Now, does that sound a little bit more like the world we live in? People make a mockery of those who say, well, I want to please Jesus. I want to walk with God. You can have that. I want more money. I want more freedom. I want to do what I want to do. And a constitution guarantees that I can do whatever I want to do. Well, in this country, people in China can't say that. People all over the world can't say that. Our constitution is not written that people might live lasciviously or carnally or evilly or wickedly. People said you could have this, your Jesus. You have nothing. And they make a mockery. What do you have to show for? You have nothing. We can come into your churches and shame you for being bad at what you are and what you say. We'll see how that works out. I don't think we're in danger of that here, but something to be aware of. But that's the way the world we live in today. So we see that Enoch wanted to walk with God. Enoch sought to please God. And the Lord took him out of the world. Before the time of Noah, when people said, we don't care about God, we don't care if we please God or not, why didn't he just leave us alone? We'd rather have a world without God. We want to shed God from our conscience, he's a burden to us, he gets in our way. He gets in our way. That's the kind of world that Noah lived in. And the Lord told Noah, he said, Noah, I'm going to put this to an end. you prepare your salvation, the rescue for your home, your house, your people. Make room for the things of the world that are of true value. And I'm going to use you, and I'm going to build a new world. But all these others, when it starts to rain, and they see the waters rising, and they see this construction that you worked on for 100 and some years, all of a sudden it floats. They see the animals getting into it. They're not going to understand what you're doing. This is going to be bizarre to them. They're going to make a mockery of you for doing it. But it's going to be bizarre. What's going on here? You're kind of acting like there's something bad coming. That's the kind of world that we live in. And Jesus said, and when the disciples ask him, he'll tell us about the last days. He says, as the days of Noah, so shall the end of this world be. People would just be going on about their business, doing what they do, giving no thought to what they do is coming to an end. But Noah was, by listening and following the Lord's directions, he became what the Lord would have him to be. He sought to obey God. He'd missed out. He didn't live during the time of Enoch. When Enoch simply walked with God and he was taken. But he lived during the time of judgment. When he just got out with the judgment raining down on the world. Protected in the ark, which is a type of Christ. So we find ourselves in the same sort of time. If you would. At this time, and as so many other verses we haven't had a chance to touch on, but by faith, we believe that God has a higher calling, higher ground. He has something more for us as Christians than just salvation. He has promises of taking us out of this world before the wrath of God comes upon this world. The words of Enoch, the testimony of Enoch, are very important for us in this time and in this age. It is time now to take a look at what is going on, to look into the Word of God and understand that what is building and going to be taking place. Now is the time for us to walk with God, say, you can take the world. I want Jesus. I just want more of Jesus in my life. I want to become what He would have me to be. There's nothing in this world that I can become that's worth anything. It'll only hold me back. Paul talks about running a race. The thing is, there's so much of this in Scripture, embedded in Scripture, it's so rarely taught. And it's just time to talk about this. That there is a greater reward for those who walk with God, and following the testimony of Enoch, than there is for those who would be content with the things of the world. And just escape the judgment of the world. There's a higher ground that Enoch dwelt on that had a pathway that led into the presence of God. And there's a lower ground that will float the ark that Noah built as judgment came pouring down. And he got to higher ground. If he could have seen out, he would have seen the tips of the mountains getting lower and lower, and the water rising higher and higher. He got to that place of higher ground, in a sense, but it's the highest place in the world. It wasn't with God at that time. That was later. I cannot become what the Lord, I can't be the man that God would have me to be if I were to pursue the things that I want, that I might think there's value in. We need to learn to judge our own lives, our own circumstances, our own situations, and diligently, diligently seek the things of God while there's time. While there is time. Because this world has a clock ticking. I'm not saying when it is. Not saying that all the circumstances, but through many sources, the world and the systems of the world are preparing for a great war. A different kind of war. But a great, ugly, ugly, ugly World War III. And we don't have to be here for it. We're not called to be here for it. So let's adopt in our hearts the mindset of Enoch. To live to please him and pursue the things that he has called us to. And we'll be forever glad, forever glad. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, dear God, for your word that reveals to us that we do not yet know what we shall be like, but we know that we will be like Jesus. Father, press on each of our hearts the urgency of becoming the people, the kind of person that you would have us to be, and living the life that you would have us to live, rather than pursuing the things of this world, so much so that we might say, you can have the world and everything in it. Just give me more of Jesus. Father, bless this to each of our hearts, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, turn number 727, and sing the second verse. 727. Faith is the victory. His banner over us, his love, our sword, the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. May God bless you. If you'd like to pray and worship the Lord, please do so. Amen. Thank you.